That's Happy Saver, who comes out of that win in the Jockey Club Gold Cup last weekend and will try to make his way to Keeneland here in a few weeks and see if Todd can't do it again. He is with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Todd, good morning.
Morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm well. I appreciate the visit. I know you're busy this morning, so I won't keep you real long. But listen, 11 Breeders' Cup wins. You pick up the first Classic win last year with Vino Rosso. Special day for you. Look back on that day for a minute.
That was a big win. We felt like we were coming into the race doing as well as you could ever hope a horse was going to do. And the fact that he had won the Santa Anita Gold Cup over the surface gave us added confidence. But it was a fun race to watch and a fun day for our team for sure.
And now you come back, much different scenario here in 2020, trying to get to the Breeders' Cup Classic and go back-to-back with Happy Saver, who comes out of a win in the Jockey Club Gold Cup last week. As a matter of fact, he's never tasted defeat yet. Three-year-old as opposed to an older horse like Vino Rosso. Talk to me about Happy Saver.
Well, you know, he's obviously a high-quality horse who's been able to accomplish a lot in a short period of time. It's pretty rare that you would see a horse go from breaking its maiden on June 20th and able to win a race like the Jockey Club Gold Cup on October 10th. But, you know, says a lot about his natural ability and professionalism and just, you know, to kind of keep handling step up after step up. It was fun to see him progress like that.
I talked about that earlier, Todd, in the previous segment. Not debuting until June 20th. As a three-year-old, that's unusual for a Todd Pletcher three-year-old. We're used to seeing them, you know, get going as two-year-olds. You do such a great job getting them ready and pointed for the Triple Crown trail. He debuts in June. With everything getting shifted back this year with the Triple Crown, did that give you a chance to step back with Happy Saver and say, okay, now we can take our time and go a different direction with this horse?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we were never under any pressure. The Wertheimers are great to train for, very patient owners, and really it was just always a matter of, you know, whatever you feel like's best for the horse. And so we'd kicked around the idea of running in the Jim Dandy. We entered there, decided to wait for the Federico Tessio, and kind of went there with the idea that we, you know, if things went well, we would consider the Preakness. And we strongly considered it, but we just felt like it would only be his fourth start and it was going to be a big field, and kind of anticipated the Jockey Club would not be a big field, even though we'd be meeting some older horses. So just tried to weigh all those things into the Jockey Club Cup.
Any similarities to Happy Saver and Super Saver?
You know, I mean, aside from the fact that they're both very talented horses, I can't say that either one of them really remind me physically so much of one another, especially with their, their different colors and everything. But the one thing I would say about them both is they're very good-looking horses, very well-balanced, kind of natural-muscled horses that are able to, you know, have tactical speed and carry it over a route of ground. And from that perspective, the Happy Saver is a much, much more laid-back horse. He was, you know, very docile in the paddock, very easy to train, not overly ambitious. And Super Saver was, when he was on his game, you needed a strong exercise rider, and he needed to be paddock schooled quite a bit. He'd get pretty fired up in the paddock and get a little anxious. And up to this point, Happy Saver's not been like that at all.
Well, you're no stranger to winning Breeders' Cup races. I mentioned those 11 wins, including that win in the Classic last year. What do you do now over the next 3 weeks with Happy Saver to make sure he's ready to fire another big shot when we get to Keeneland?
Well, you know, the concern is stepping up in the ranks a bit. Obviously, that'll be a much deeper, tougher race, and the relatively quick turnaround in 4 weeks. Those are the things that you worry about. But we'll just play it by ear and see how he trains over the next couple of weeks. And we've got a free ride into the Breeders' Cup if we decide to take it. But again, the Wertheimers have emphasized they're not in any rush, so when we're ready, we'll if he's ready, we'll go. And if we feel like we need more time, then you know we can look at some other options, which could possibly include focusing on the Pegasus and kind of gearing up for that. But right now, it seems like he's come out of it well. I like the way he trained this morning, and so we'll continue to monitor that and see how things go.
He will not be your only Breeders' Cup starter, all things being equal. You also have Valiance, who was a huge winner in the Spinster Stakes. Mutazabek? Is that the way I'm saying that correctly? In the Bourbon Stakes? Also a
that's
winner
there.
That's
the way we say it. I'm not sure it's correct, but...
Yeah, I remember asking Kieran about all these names, and he was never exactly sure how to pronounce them either.
No, they can be tricky, and a lot of them are very similar. And now we're really happy with the way he ran at Keeneland. He had a good work yesterday, also, so he's on target for the juvenile turf.
How about Valiance? Tell me a little bit more about her.
Seems to be in great form at the moment. She worked this morning and seemed to come out of the Spencer in good shape. So, that was clearly her best race to date, and happy with the way she handled the surface there. And so, again, you know, a tougher race coming up, but we like the way she's coming around.
You mentioned when we talked about Vina Rosa, the fact that he had won the Santa Anita Gold Cup on that same racing surface, and that was a big, at least big vote of confidence in your book. How about with horses like Valiance and Mutazabek, who have won at Keeneland? Is that something that going into the Breeders' Cup, you can at least check that box off as being one less concern?
Definitely. Whenever you have one that, you know, handles the surface, that's always a big plus. And, you know, it kind of checks off one of the boxes of things you hopefully don't have to worry about. Of course, you know, sometimes you're going to kind of different weather circumstances and those kind of things, and getting into the first week in November, who knows what we might be in store for on that weekend. But you know, it definitely makes you feel good that they've had good races over the track.
Talking with trainer Todd Pletcher here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Todd, you'll enter several horses this weekend in graded stakes, including the Knickerbocker and the Hill Prince and the Dowager and the Twilight Derby. With 3 weeks until the Breeders' Cup now, the Breeders' Cup being a little later, is there a chance that one of those horses or maybe more could eventually find their way to the Breeders' Cup if they run well?
To be honest, we're not really looking at any of the races this weekend as true Breeders' Cup preps. If someone, you know, were to wow us, then, you know, that could change something. But, you know, at this point, we're sort of trying to find the best spots for those horses and step up and see how they do in there. But if one or more to jump up and run like that, then I suppose they could put themselves in the mix.
You know, you're sitting edging closer to 5,000 career victories. 4,989 is the total at the time of this interview. That puts you eighth all-time in terms of number of wins among trainers. You're ahead of your mentor, Dwayne Lucas. You're first all-time in terms of purse earnings, though, with $395 million and change. You can keep the change, I guess, $395 million plus. That's not a bad thing either, my friend. And I asked Perry Utz when he was on the show with me earlier if he was aware of milestones as he moved through his career, and he said, you know, I am and I'm not. I knew I was tied with Chris McCarron before I passed him a couple of weeks ago. How about you? Are you aware of those types of milestones and the fact that you're closing in on 5,000?
Well, I am because, you know, it's been pointed out, but, you know, sometimes I look at those things and try to use them as motivation to, you know, to keep the ball rolling and keep going and stay focused and strive to do better. So, yeah, I keep an eye on it, but, it's, you know, I don't think I've never set goals like that where I say, okay, you know, I want to get to 5,000 or I want to get to 4,000 or whatever. But once you're getting close, then you take note and, you know, I know a lot of times you get right on the brink of it, and then things slow down. So I'm hoping we can gather it up quickly. I'd hate to kind of hover around there for a long time.
Well, Todd, listen, you're always very gracious with your time, and I know it's a busy day, so I'll let you go, but really appreciate the visit here this morning. All the best this weekend, and all the best moving down the road to the Breeders' Cup.
All right, my pleasure. Thanks a lot.